So before I speak, I would like to, if we could have the photograph up on the overhead. Isn't that wonderful? And what I want to do this morning is to officially welcome Rob to Core Church, and just so privileged to have him, his wife and Ethan and their little one on their way. And just wonderful having him here. And what we want to do before I start speaking is just we're going to pray for him and just pray for God's anointing for the time he is here with us. So if I can invite you up, Rob. And could I have a couple of people from Core who would like to pray for Rob? Come on. Come on then. Yeah, no, exactly. So I'm going to pray for him then, if anyone else wants to pray also. So Lord Jesus, we want to thank you so much for Rob, for Dillis, for Ethan, and for the baby that's on its way. And we want to pray and thank you, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful provision. And Lord, we want to pray now for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon Rob now, that it'll come upon him in great power, that you'd release upon him now, Lord, the words of life, Lord, that you'll give him such a close relationship with you, Lord. I pray that you would not only refine and build him up, Lord, but you would really release him into the fullness, Lord, in Jesus' precious name.
And not with Rob, that you are the leader, Lord God, so that all Rob has to do is follow you. He has nothing to do on his own, Lord. You are A and he is B. Thank you for that, Jesus.
And Jesus, just as John prayed, just that you would continue to expand his heart, God, that you would give him a sense of your presence, a sense of your love for him, a sense of your love for your people. Fill him with love, Jesus. May he know the depths of your love, of your mercy, of your tenderness.
Father, I pray that you would really bless him, that you would anoint him, that you'd fill him full of your Holy Spirit. Yes. And I pray, Lord, that you'd make him one who is strong and courageous. And I thank you, Lord, that you have called him for such a time as this. Bless him in Jesus' name. Amen.
So, Lord, we just thank you so much for all you're going to do. We just pray, Lord, that you, even though Robert's familiar with the call, Lord, I pray that he would find this place as his home as he comes in a very different role. And we just want to pray for protection upon his family. We want to pray for plenty of space and time to be with the Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would teach him how to walk in your time and space and not that of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
So I got woken up at 5 o'clock this morning. We've got a new little boy called Zach. He woke up, I think, about 5 this morning. And we leant over and he's got his own little cot with the side down on it. He's moving his arms like this and going, yeah. Absolutely delighted that the day had started, which is a lot more than we could say. But it's just amazing seeing the joy of a child, the expectation of the day. And before I'm going to talk about they that wait on the Lord, I was reminded of a story today while I've been at the church about God's unexpected way that he breaks into our lives. Because so often in life, we go through the mundane of life, don't we, the everyday. And it seems like it's only going to be like that, doesn't it? And suddenly, the Lord breaks in, and suddenly We're translated from the here and now to the heavenly perspective of who God is. And a good few years ago, my dad had a period of time off. He was given 3 months, or 4 or 5, whatever it was, a period of time off, to have a break from being in ministry for sort of year in, year out. And he went to New Zealand for 3 months. And I'm not going to spend too much time, but when he was out there, he was out body surfing in the waves, which he probably shouldn't at his age, but he's very young at heart. And one of the waves caught him, spun him on his back and broke his neck in 3 places. And there's a whole story about how the Lord restored him and how the Lord brought him back. But to cut a long story short, he ended up back at home, recovering from this injury and feeling quite low, feeling quite beaten up, feeling that, you know, that you know, just not understanding what he'd been through and all those kind of things. Anyway, they decided to go to Greece on holiday for a couple of weeks just to sort of have a family holiday, that mum and my dad. And while they're out there, they got to, there's a lovely taverna there where they used to go in there to eat in the evenings. And the person who ran the taverna found out what my dad did and said, "Oh, we have a Greek Orthodox priest who comes here, a Father Angelos or whatever his name was, and he would love to meet you." And my dad was kind of thought, "Oh, that'd be really nice and everything." So he was kind of sitting one night eating a meal with my mum, and this Greek Orthodox priest came into the restaurant, and he saw my dad sitting over at the table, sitting down, and he walked over to him, and he stood over him, and he just put his arms around him, and just held him, and it's like, it was just what he needed. He didn't say anything, but he saw my dad, he'd seen what he'd been through, and he walked up to him and just held him like that. And it just brought to him again God's love and his compassion and the way that the Lord wants to break in to the everyday with God's arm around us to remind ourselves of who he is and what he's about. And so I just thought that might be an encouragement to some of you today. I don't know why that story came up, but it just reminded me today that God wants to break into the everyday and show us what he's like. So if you can turn with me to Isaiah 40, verse 25 through to 31. That's, I'm not sure what page that is in the Red Bible, but I'm sure someone will shout it out. So that's Isaiah 40, verse 25 through to 35, or something like that. Anyone going to throw that one out? 724. So if you turn to page 724, that'd be great. It says this: "To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." And I think as we read the words of these words out of Isaiah, it's quick for us to realise, isn't it, at times we're absolutely wasted, aren't we? We're at times are really, really tired. We're at times where we go through difficult times and we think, "My gosh, I'm so exhausted," or I just can't keep going. Well, this is a word of encouragement to the weary. This is a word of encouragement to those who feel, you know, they just feel that life is difficult. It's a word of encouragement this morning, and this is what I want to present it to you as. And I love these words. The first thing about this, Isaiah 40, the heading for this is comfort for God's people. And God wants to comfort his people. Why? Because he cares about his people. And there's lots of snapshots in this Isaiah 40. It talks about God being the shepherd, and as Rob talked about Psalm 23, about the good shepherd. It talks about preparing the way for the Lord. It talks about creation. It talks about God's integration through creation. It talks about idols. It talks about all sorts of things. But we're going to focus on verse 25. It says this: "To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal, says the Holy One?" So that's the question. This is the question that God is posing before us this morning. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? When you present a question such as this, it's one of comparison, isn't it? Who do you compare me to? Who is like me? So what is it? Why is God saying that? Well, what he wants us to do is to focus on him. Because there's no one like him. There's no one of his equal. He's the Holy One of Israel. Then it goes on to say, lift your eyes up and look to the heavens. So look up. Get your right focus. Look to the one who can help and not down to our situations that we find ourselves in. King David was very aware of where his help came from. It says this, I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Another question. The answer is this, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. What a promise. Where is the promise? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. Who is he? He is the maker of heaven and earth. He won't sleep and slumber like we do. He's always ready to help. He watches over us. He's at the shade of your right hand. Have you ever put your hand out like this and looked at the shade? It's incredibly close. You can't split them apart. That's how close he is at hand. He'll keep you from harm. He'll watch over your life. The Lord watch over your coming out and going out. So lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Where does your help come from? Then goes to say, who created these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. And when we look to the heavens, we see God's creation, don't we? And it's quite difficult in a city seeing the heavens, isn't it? Because of all the lights. And you look up and you think, well, particularly at the moment, when it's just full of rain, isn't it? But if you go to different places outside the city, into the countryside, or if you go to countries in Europe, for instance, when you have a clear evening, you look up at the heavens, and they're just full of stars. And if you notice when you look at the stars, you see one, two, and then you see the other one, and then you see more and more, and before you know it, you see more, and it just goes on, and you're absolutely overwhelmed by the incredible complexity, and just the stars is full. So it says, look to the heavens. Who created these? It doesn't say, don't look to the stars. It says, look to the person who created the heavens and the stars. So it's not like the silly old reading your stars and all that nonsense. It's looking to the author of the creator of the heavens and the stars. And what does he say here? He says this, he who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. And so what it's showing here is, one, that God created the stars, but he also brings each one out, puts them in place, and calls each one by name. And even in the vastness of God's creation, he knows the detail of where he has placed and put each star. And how much more does God know about you and about me? It says, because of great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. And you see, when we look at creation, we can often see the character of God. It says in, I can't remember it, I think it's in 1 Corinthians 1:20, that God's invisible qualities are shown through creation. And you see in here, isn't this the nature of the shepherd coming through as we look at this verse? He brings out the starry host one by one and calls each by name. But because of his power and might, not one of them is missing. Isn't that what a shepherd does? And how much more is the Lord looking out for you and me than a star placed up in the sky? Then he goes on to say, "Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God." And so often when we take our focus of looking up to heaven and to looking to the Lord as our answer, the complaining starts, doesn't it? It's his fault, it's her fault. They should have done that. Why is this happening to me? Our focus is in the wrong place, isn't it? And the Lord says this, "My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is," it says, "Why do you, O Jacob, and complain of Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God." You see, if God takes care of stars and that not one is missing, do you not think that the Lord will take care of you? And then it goes on to say, "Do you not know? Have you not heard?" If you don't know, if you haven't heard, well, it's understandable. But if you do know and you have heard, it's a reminder to look to who? To focus on the Lord, isn't it? To lift our eyes up to the mountains. Where does our help come from? The Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Then it says, "Do you not know, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth." And so it's again describing more of his character and who he is. The Lord is everlasting. In other words, he's forever. He's not fleeting. He's not going to pass away. He's not going to leave you out to dry. He's here with you forever and ever and ever. He's also the creator of the ends of the earth. He's not a bit part creator, which makes him part of the created order. He is the creator. He's the creator of all you see and all you imagine. And the great thing is this, unlike us, he will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. And again, David says this, "He who watches over Israel, or he who watches over you, will neither slumber nor sleep." He doesn't get tired like we do. He doesn't get weary like we do. Wish we were a bit more like that, don't you? But he's always there, available for us. And he's always there with his power and might. He's not saying, "I've had a bad day, so I'm not really feeling like doing this." Bang! He's always there on the ball, ready to intervene, ready to step in, ready to reveal himself to us, ready to encourage us, ready to build up. He's always ready, always waiting to step in. And then again, as it says, his understanding no one can fathom. Well, as I said before, who is like me? Who is like God? Who is his equal? Who is like the Holy One of Israel? Well, there's no one like that, is there? There's only Jesus Christ. And his ways, as we've talked about many times, are not our ways. It's our thoughts. His thoughts are not our thoughts. As high as the heavens above the earth, so are the Lord's ways higher than our ways. But they're the best ways because they're his ways. Then it goes on to say this, "He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even the youth grow tired and weary, and the young men stumble and fall." And you see, not only does God doesn't sleep or doesn't get weary, his understanding's not like us. The wonderful thing about God is his compassion to understand our frailty. He knows we're just but dust. He knows that we're just but human beings. He knows that we stumble and fall. He knows that we make mistakes. He knows. Why? Because he says it in his word. He says this, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are but dust." Isn't that wonderful? He remembers our frailty. He remembers our humanity. He remembers that we don't always have a good day. He remembers that we get tired and weary. He remembers that sometimes we say things we don't mean. He remembers that sometimes we do things we don't mean to do. That's why he has grace. Because he understands that we're only human. But the wonderful thing is here, is he doesn't leave us as being human and weak. He provides himself as the power and answer to our situation. It's not a bad deal, is it? But it doesn't make excuses that we are, you know, an excuse of being weak, because we are weak, but we look to Him for our strength. It says, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. And what does that mean? Well, He gives strength to those who recognize they're weak in themselves. And when we recognize that we're weak in ourselves, we can access the strength of God. But when we're weak in ourselves, and we stay with ourselves, we're left with ourselves. But when we recognize that we are weak in ourselves, God provides the strength for our situation. He says, He will not grow tired. He goes, He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. To the weary, He gives strength. To the weak, He gives power. He recognized that the youth grow tired and weary, and the young men stumble and fall. But those who hope or wait on or in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. So how do we do this waiting? How do we do this hoping? How do we do this access to God's power? Well, the first thing is to recognize the Lord's ways are the best ways. They're not our ways. But by waiting, it says this, those who wait or those who hope in the Lord, by waiting on God, we are defaulting to God's lordship. Waiting takes the control out of our hands. It's not about us making it happen. It's waiting for God to open the door that we can walk through. It doesn't mean we're passive and do nothing. It means we know that God is the answer to our situation. Waiting on God is about trust. Because waiting means we're not doing anything, but trusting God is knowing that God can do something. But why is He not doing it now? Well, because we're waiting. So why is it not happening? Because we're waiting. But it will happen. Why? Because God is going to do it. Why? Because he's waiting for us to be ready for Him to move. See, if we move without waiting, we do it on our own strength. But if we wait for God and He opens the door, we're doing His strength, don't we? And so waiting on the Lord is about taking the control out of our hands and trusting in God's nature and character. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But we keep thinking, well, if I don't do this, it's not going to happen. Do you ever get that one? If I don't become the answer to this situation, how on earth is this ever going to happen? I suggest it will happen when we get out of the way. Because it's about God's nature and it's about His character. Because His ways are not our ways. And if we don't wait on the Lord, we do it in our strength. And that's when times get really tiring, isn't it? I was saying last week when I was speaking in the evening last week, and I was saying that, you know, it's a reminder to me to spend more time putting some more space in for God, because I was getting weary. And it says this, but those who hope, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. See, in the waiting, we take on the qualities of the eagle. And let me explain a little bit about that. An eagle waits, doesn't it? It waits for the thermals in order to take it up into the heavenlies. If an eagle jumped without the thermals, it would probably be going, whoa. It's quite good, isn't it? About 20 years ago, that sort of dancing, isn't it? About my sort of dancing, probably. Anyway, but with the eagle, what it does, when I was out in America, you could see the eagles first thing in the morning as the sun comes out and the thermals begin to rise up into the air. And you see the eagles, what they do is they jump out, and as they jump out, they have just an end of their pinions here. they're feeling here like this to find out where the thermals are. And when they find the thermal, they begin to follow it, and the thermals go like this. They go up, and they follow it up to the great heights. And when they get up there, they just have this most beautiful view and this wonderful imagery of freedom. But the great thing about the eagle, it's not a big effort to get itself up here. Why? Because it's learned how to ride the thermals. It's learned to wait, and it's learned how to take those as it's led to the heights. And the great thing about eagles, as you get to the height, you see things with a much broader perspective, don't you? And so in the waiting, we begin to see things again as they really are. And I don't know about you, but when you get tired, big things become less important. Everything, the small things become more important, don't they? We all get caught up in, oh gosh, all the sort of silly things of life, don't we? And become, oh, because we've forgotten about the perspective that God gives us when we ride on the thermals. It says this, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. So part of the restoration, part of renewing the strength, part of getting your hope back is all about the way the eagle flies. And it says this in Deuteronomy 32, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions. And again, you see, in Deuteronomy 32, we see the beautiful imagery to start with of the eagle, which is riding on the thermals. But you've got to learn how to fly like the eagle. It doesn't happen just by jumping out of the nest. And in this story, or in this imagery taken out of the Song of Moses, it talks about the nest being stirred, the stirring of the nest. And I know from little Zach that he just loved eating food and he loved the comfort of being held. And in the same way, the eaglets in their nest, they're growing up, they're getting fed each day, and they get bigger and bigger and bigger, and they're really enjoying the fact that they're warm, and they're really enjoying their environment. But a time comes when the mother says, it's time to begin to fly. It's time to take on the character and nature of the mother. So what does the mum do? It starts making the nest feel very, very uncomfortable. And it goes in there, starts pecking it, and starts stirring them up, so they realize it's not going to be the comfy day where they come and have their drink of milk and they get fed with food. Suddenly things are changing. It's not quite the way it was. And what's happening there is that the stirring is that the eagle wants its babies to become adults and to do what it does. And so what a mother does is, in the early days, it takes little eaglet up into the, it takes this position here. It takes a very small little eagle, it stirs the nest up, the birds are on the edge of the nest, it then grabs the first one, puts it up here, and it takes it to a great height. And it takes on the thermals up to the great height, I've seen this. And they drop it. And the eagle sinks like a stone to start with. And you see them falling out of the sky, and it's actually quite amusing. But then the eagle comes underneath it all, and picks it up again, and takes it back up to thermals. And the eaglet drops again, and this time it begins to go like this. And realises it's got to do something, or that it's going to hit the ground. And again, the mother comes up and picks it up and takes it back up to thermals. Again and again and again. And it begins to learn to take on the nature and character of his mother. And it's the same way with God. The Lord wants us to take on his nature and character. How do we do that? We've got to wait on the Lord. We've got to be led by the Lord. We've got to allow him to lead and guide us. Because when we do, we have the energy, the resources, the power to do everything that God has called us to do. But when we do it in our own strength, we get tired, we get weary, we lose focus, we hit the ground. And when I was working in a place called Luton a number of years ago, there's a place I used to go out and walk sometimes in the afternoons to kind of just sort of hang out with the Lord kind of thing. And there's a place I used to walk, it's quite high up on the hills, you could overlook this big valley. And when I was walking up there one day, I saw all these gliders up in the skies, and they're flying, it's beautiful to watch. And as I was looking at them, I just again reminded of the eagle and the freedom that the gliders have. But then I looked down and into a field, and in the field I saw all these little sheds. And I felt the Lord say, they're meant to be up there, but they're stuck in their little sheds. They're not doing what they've been made to do. And it's a bit like the eaglets in the nest. They're in their little boxes. They're stuck. They're not doing what they've been created to do. And so God wants to open the box, open those things that define us, and to begin to teach us how to ride the thermals like the eagle. Because where the Spirit is, there's great freedom, isn't there? So I just want to encourage each one of us as we enter into the summer to begin to put that space and time in, to wait on the Lord, to hope on the Lord, to read His Word, to hang out, walk with the Lord, whatever it takes to reconnect. Because it's when we do that we see things as they really are. So let's, I was going to invite the guys to come up and maybe play a song. And then we're just going to, I just really feel the Lord wants to break in to the everyday, to reveal Himself again to us afresh. And I also believe that God wants to give, it's almost like He wants to renew the strength of the weary and increase the power of the weak. And so we're just going to worship the Lord, and then we're just going to just allow the Spirit to do whatever the Spirit wants to do. And so let's stand as these guys lead us in a song, and then we're going to see what the Lord wants to do this morning.